preaching in my church last Sunday, and some people say, are you all right with the mic stand? I says, well, that's what we use at our church. We don't have a pulpit. We do it, nobody ever uses it. We just use what we have here today. So it's an honor to be with you. Last Saturday at the mission, Milwaukee Rescue Mission, where Mike sometimes comes up to be able to preach, we had a guy, that 24-year-old man, that came up after we were all done and we were packing up. And we always leave time open for prayer. And if you need prayer, just come on up. And so he came up, and I said, what can I pray for you? He says, well, I don't know quite. I says, well, anything specific? He says, I need Jesus. He says, I just need Jesus. And he knew that he needed Christ. And so we prayed for him right there on the spot. And you know how sometimes when you see people just come to the Lord, how you can see this transition on their face, you can see this look on them, you can see like there's just something happening transitionally in their body and their system. And it was just really, really, really cool to see this guy come to the Lord, just see that the Holy Spirit was in him and he was working in him right as we were praying. And give God all the glory. A week before that, one of the workers at the mission, a Baptist guy, we have this thing where we kind of kid each other about what we believe with among the people that work there. We have some Pentecostals, we got some Baptists, we got some, I don't know where they're at, but as workers. But this friend that Mike and I know, his name is Bruce. He's a diehard 5-point Calvinist. I mean, he is like King James only. I mean, you know, he's one of them. And I love the guy. I love the guy, and he loves me, and we poke at each other. But he had an opportunity. A guy was having convulsions, and he was having convulsions in the service. Bruce took the guy and pulled him aside, and he heard from the Lord. The Lord says, pray the demon out of him. And Bruce goes, that ain't happening, you know. I'm a Baptist, we don't believe in all that Pentecostal charismatic stuff. And so it was only about a minute later, the Lord just spoke to him and said, pray the demon out of him. Well, Bruce says, all right, out of obedience I'll do it, but I don't believe it can happen because, you know, I'm a 5-point Calvinist, I'm a Baptist, we don't do that kind of stuff, you know. And so he laid his hands on the guy and he goes, this isn't normally what I do, but the Lord's telling me to do this. In the name of Jesus, demon be gone. And the demon left, and the guy came into his right mind. He goes, I think I'll go back into the service now. and the demon that was in this man, as he was possessed, left. And it left Bruce with just this thought that maybe there is something more to this walk with God than just coming in here and literally believing this, literally believing that. Maybe there is something to the gifts. And so I just wanted to share those two exciting things with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 15. The Lord gave me this sermon. And interestingly, when he gave me the sermon, all he gave me was the title. It was called The Calling. And so I just kind of like tinkered around and asked a couple of friends of mine, what do you think of that title? Christian men, you know, that preach. And some Christian women that preach. And then I said, well, what do you think of the title? And then they all came up with the usual stuff that people would probably come up with if you gave them that title. But I'm at home, and the Lord just dropped in my lap Genesis 15. And I'm going, okay, so how am I going to connect the dots between the title, The Calling, at Genesis 15, and the Lord said, well, I'll give you all that. And so I wrote this out. 95% of it's of the Lord, other was just historical background. And the thing was, when I tried to get some kind of semblance to the sermon, and just look up people that are famous, people that have preached on Genesis 15 before. I have absolutely nobody that's come up with the sermon. And so I was like, is this really scriptural? And the Lord just kept on confirming to me that it was. So here I go, you know. So this is the story of Abram and the covenant that God had made with him. But it's the title is called The Calling. And so one of the things that I've always known since I've been saved is that there's always an Old Testament illustration for a spiritual truth that's in the New Testament. There's always something you can glean from the Old Testament that illustrates a principle or something that God has given us in the New Testament. And so in Genesis 15, the Bible says at verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I'm the shield, I'm thy shield, and thy exceedingly great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This shall be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." And he brought him forth abroad, said, "Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thou be thy seed." And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. I've always loved this passage. I've always loved the covenant. I've always understood it from the Old Testament point of view, the covenant that God made with Israel. And this is so awesome of a scriptural passage. And the one thing that I really love about it is the part that comes after this, is that when God made this covenant with Abram, when he made it with him, Abram fell into this deep trance, and God said, "Meet me over here. We're going to be able to take the sacrifice, the animals that we cut in half, and half of them went over on this side here, and the other half went over on this side here, except for the birds." And in the Old Testament, the two parties in a covenant agreement would walk in the midst of the animal sacrifices, and then after they walked in the middle of it, they would just burn the sacrifices up as a measure of their covenant that they were going to have together. But what's cool about this particular type passage was that Abram showed up for the covenant. And as Abram showed up for the covenant, he got tired of waiting on God, and he got tired, and he eventually fell asleep swatting away the flies and the birds and all that from the sacrifice so that it would be an honorable sacrifice. And then while he was sleeping, God gave him this vision that it's now done. And he said, Abram woke up in a panic, and he goes, "Oh, I missed it. I missed the covenant. I fell asleep," and he felt bad. And God said, "No, the covenant is that I walked through the middle of the sacrifice myself. And because I walked through the sacrifice myself, I made a covenant with you and to all of Israel and to the Gentiles, which are us. I made an agreement with a covenant with you." And the reason why he had Abram fall asleep was because he didn't want the two parties coming together in a covenant, because Abram, being a man, being human, having flesh, could have easily have gotten away from the covenant, have broken the covenant. Things would have happened, and all of a sudden there would have been no covenant. But God said, "I'm walking in the middle of that sacrifice myself and making a covenant unto myself. And because I'm making it unto myself, there's no way the covenant can be broken, because I obviously am God, and it's not going to go bad. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to walk away from my covenant, because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever." And so he makes the covenant with us. And it's a promise that he made by himself for us, So the covenant could never be broken because God would never be able to do that. That's not in him. But there are some principles in these verses that I just gave you that I want to share with you that God just really poured upon my heart in these verses that speak to you and I in the New Testament about our calling. You see, that was the covenant that God made with Abram. But you and I also have a covenant with God. You and I also have a New Testament calling, and that's the cross. We have Jesus Christ as our covenant, and he is our covenant for today. But we can glean from these what God has. So number one, take it from verse one, is the promise of God will be with us in the calling that he's placed in our lives. He will not only be our protector, but be our reward. He does not say how great or limited that reward is, but I believe it's unlimited. He says in verse 1, the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. And that shield, we know in the New Testament, is the shield of faith in the armor of God. And when he calls you and I to something that he calls us to, there are going to be times, trust me on this, if you haven't walked in this, there are going to be times where everything is coming against you. You wonder if you've been called to do anything. You wonder how, if God's even going to be with you. And everything is around you, 360 degrees, collapsing on you. And you're like, got this fear in you, like, okay, God, where are you, man? You called me to this, but yet you're not here. But the shield that God gives us is that extra measure of faith. It is that gift of faith that he gives us in those times when he has called us to something and everything adversely is coming against us, that we have this extra amount of faith, the gift of faith, to be able to make it through whatever storm that is, whatever trial that is, whatever tribulation that is, whatever that is that comes your way. I had a man 2 years ago that was buffeting me and coming against my ministry, and he did everything possible. Everything possible to get me to stop preaching. And I can't go into the specifics, but it was very, very dark, very ugly, and it ended up involving prisons that I went to, my pastor, my family. I mean, he did everything possible to break it. But I had this extra measure of faith that God gave me. You're going to get through, Mike. Everything is going to be okay. Just keep on praying for the man to be saved. Keep on praying for him that God would help him. Well, you know, as things worked out, last summer, around the 4th of July, he ended up committing suicide down in Kansas City. But I said all that not to minimize his death, but to say that I had this faith that I knew, just knew. Although everybody was calling me and saying, this guy's doing this guy's doing that, and he was from Texas. He wasn't even from this area. But even though all this stuff was happening, that I just knew God was going to get me through the other side. I just knew it. And I just calmly every day said, yeah, I know. And just said, God, just work it all out. Save him, protect him, help him. But God will give you that extra measure of faith when you need it, because he's your shield. And then the Bible says he's also thy great, exceedingly great reward. He's not just a reward. He's just not somebody that comes into the picture in your house and all of a sudden he just arrives and he is just there. But he's exceedingly great reward. To me, that means this, that when you are having your calling and God has called you to do something, it means all the resources from heaven are opened up and are at your availability to be able to give you whatever you need at that time to be able to make that calling happen. And so Isaiah 62 or 64, one of those two, talks about a common prayer that we as evangelists pray, that God would come down from heaven and rent the heavens and come to earth and be in the midst of that service. We pray it all the time as evangelists. But it also means this, that all the weapons of heaven, all the disposable things that God has for us, he will provide for us in the New Testament, for us in our calling, in order to make that calling happen. You see, one thing I learned a long time ago when I first got saved is that God never calls you to lose, but God has always called you to something to win. And so he provides all the necessary tools to make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't work out, it isn't on God because it didn't happen. It's on us because of something we did. But number two, the second thing I have is the vision that God gives the believer that is a way beyond our ability to come to fruition and understand it. The vision is so big that the believer may even doubt it could happen. It shows us, though. God gives us this vision in a dream, or it just tells us this is what he wants us to do. We say, oh my, this is way bigger than I, and I keep on thinking about the Toby Mac song, Beyond Me. But anyway, it's way beyond you, and you can't comprehend it. You can't even grab your arms around it because it's so big. But God gives it to you to be able to make happen because of his strength, his abilities, everything he has, he will furnish to you as the believer to make it come to fruition. You'll say, God, I can't do that. God, I can't possibly do this. You're asking me to do something that's way beyond what I could do. God says, I know. I know that I'm doing that because you're not the one that's going to do it. I'm the one that's going to do it. And you see, God is the one who's able to give you the vision. But it shows us this. This is a point that I want to stress in the second point of the vision. It shows us, though, the confidence that God has in you and I to allow us to have this vision and his confidence in us to be able to carry out what he's given us. Even though we may doubt, we say, God, I love you, man. I think you're awesome. But this is way beyond for me to be able to grasp. And you may even have those doubts, but God has confidence in you and I to be able to think and to be able to believe and to carry out whatever that is. And you say, well, it's way beyond me to be able to comprehend it, to understand it. It is. But God has confidence that through time, through him working in your life, through him working in your life of sanctification, through the word of God, through prayer, and just in the everyday things that God puts in front of you, that you're going to make it happen. And so God does that also in the vision that he gives you. Number three, in the calling that he gives you, is the receiving of the incorruptible seed of Christ to enable us to do all things through Christ. It is becoming more like Christ, like all the possibilities of what God wants to accomplish in us is available. When you look at verse 3, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is even mine. In the New Testament, we have the seed of Christ that comes in. And the seed of Christ only produces that which the seed is. If it's an apple seed, it produces apples. If it's oranges, it produces oranges. Yep. So if the seed of Christ, the incorruptible seed of Christ, comes to you as the believer and comes to you at the time of salvation, that incorruptible seed will only produce Christ in you, in the likeness of Christ to you. And the things and the attributes of Christ and the vision of Christ and the thinking like Christ and the mind of Christ, all those things become possible to you. And so it's exciting because that seed has unlimited resources. That incorruptible seed that comes in you at the time of your birth, your new birth, everything that God wants to do in you is in that seed. And it's up to you and I as believers, as we come into a relationship with him, is to unlock whatever's in that seed, that incorruptible seed that he gives us. To be able to come to the end of our lives where we say we've explored everything that seed had to offer. There were seasons that we planted. There were seasons that we watered. There were seasons where there were harvests. And we just kept on letting that seed just keep on going and going and going through time. And through that time, you will see seasons where you're planting. There are times when I preach, nobody wants to get saved. All I'm doing is breaking a fallow ground. There are times when I'm just planning, and I know that because I know I preached what God had wanted me to preach, but yet no one's coming to the Lord. So I know there are times when I'm just watering, but maybe somebody else has been preaching and somebody else has laid in their hearts. But then there are those times. There are those times when you walk into a situation and all of a sudden you see not only a harvest, but a great harvest. I was at the mission a couple of months ago, and we have this new man that works there. His name is Anthony. He's about this tall, a little fireball for God. And he's just about as spirit-filled as it's going to get. And he's always amening. He's always like hooting and hollering in the back when I'm preaching. And I came to the mission on a Monday, and I just gave this incredible sermon on the gospel. In just getting saved, being saved, and I went through the cross, I went through Calvary, I went through sin, I went through repentance, I went through the whole thing. I got to the end and I go, I got this one, this is good. I just knew that was from God. And nobody wanted to know Jesus. I said, all right, Lord, what's the problem here? I just poured my heart out. I knew this was the right message. I knew this was everything you wanted. It's just like nothing is happening here. And then Brother Anthony, his name is Anthony, you'll meet him, Mike, next time you come up. He came flying down from the back of the room where he was like watching everybody. He came down to where the pulpit was and he said, now guys, you have no idea where you're going to be spending eternity. The ambulance has been here how many times in the middle of the night to drag people out of here that are dead. You just heard an awesome presentation of the gospel. The time to come to Christ is now. And all of a sudden I had 12 guys in the front line to receive Christ. We all just held hands and we had a flood. And it was awesome. But there are times in that uncorruptible seed where God's just giving you everything you need within that seed to make it. Everything is there. It's just a matter of unlocking what God has. But also in that calling that God gives us to the New Testament believers, we have Jesus Christ. And Christ, and we're affected by our Christian walk. And we are heirs to the very kingdom of God. And we affect other people because we are heirs to the kingdom of God. When things happen around us, we remember that we're not only just heirs to the kingdom of God, but we know that we're royalty. We know that this earth is going to come and pass away, but it don't matter to us because this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just ambassadors. And when things come around us and things happen around us, society-wise, community-wise, in the political system, in all the other systems that are around us, it doesn't matter because we are heavenly bound. We're citizens of heaven. We know that this place is just some place we're just passing through. And so we not only are heirs ourselves, but we also produce heirs when we lead someone to Christ, when we show the love of Jesus to them. When we come to the point where we go to them and we say, you know what, let me help you with this, let me help you with that, just in our everyday walk. Your words and my words have power to them. They can bring either life or death to them. And when they bring life, people can come to salvation. People can know Jesus Christ or come back. And they become heirs. And those people become heirs. And they lead people to Christ. And they become heirs, and other people come to Christ. And so it's very cool. And the more you let the seed come in you and allow you to be made more in the image of Christ, the more that you're going to see conversions, more you're going to see people. The definition of an heir in the encyclopedia dictionary, a person legally entitled to property or rank of another that person's death, on that person's death. You and I become heirs to the kingdom of God because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of his blood, what he did, you and I become heirs. And when people come to Jesus Christ and they die to themselves, they die to who they are, they die to the things of their flesh, and they come to take up residence of Jesus Christ in them, they too become heirs. So we are not only heirs, but we lead other people to Christ. They become heirs. And so there's a continual forward motion that people become heirs. The calling that's in your life, there's a physical looking at the stars. If you look at that picture right there, there's all these stars that are in that background. All those stars are names of people. All names of people that you and I led to the Lord. The Bible says in Daniel in chapter 12 and 3, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." When you look out, when you're first saved, you look out and all you see is clouds. You could maybe see the North Star, maybe one other star. But then the Lord will say, "Come out of your tent again," a half hour later. And as you walk with Christ, all of a sudden you see more of the clouds parting. And you see some stars in the air and you go, "Oh, that's really nice, provided you're not in the city." And then there comes to a point where God says later on in your life, "Go outside your tent, look up at the stars." And you look at the stars and you see all those stars right there. And God says to you, "You're responsible for those stars being there. Because you shined for Christ and you let your light shine in all the things I've called you to do, all the people that got led to the Lord, you're going to shine as stars." The Bible says that Jesus, that God knows every name of every star. He calls them all by name, as Chris Tomlin says. He calls them all by name. He has a name for every one of them. And whenever you get down on yourself and your calling, whenever you think, you know, "I don't know if I'm doing the right thing for God. I don't know if I'm on fire for God. I don't know if I'm making an effort or an effect on people's lives," go outside, get away from the city, look at the stars. Because those stars are representation of people that you have either led to the Lord or you had help leading to the Lord. And there are millions and millions and millions of stars that people have led people to the Lord. And they're all represented in the physical way, because we can't see the spiritual way, but in the physical way when we look at the stars. And I think it's so amazing as a Christian because, and I think you'll get a kick out of this, because sometimes the news reporters will come on TV because they've got the Hubble telescope, and they'll say, "We've just saw a new galaxy. We just discovered it." And God just says, "You know what? You take that telescope and you just keep on going. There's 1,000 more galaxies that I've already created. And someday maybe you'll get to a couple more." But God is just showing, "I created all this. I hold all these things in the balance. All these stars are up there because of what I'm doing in your life." And so it's an exciting time that God empowers us through His grace and His mercy. And when we look at God and we look at all He's done for us, we look at these stars. And Isaiah 40 and 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might. And because He is strong in power, not one of those is missing." Not a single one of people that you call to the Lord, not a single one that you've led to the Lord, and that you've worked mightily in their life. It could be a single parent, it could be a woman, it could be a guy, it could be every kind of possibility, but not a single one is missing. Not a single one is missing in the heavenlies when you look up. People that you have touched, they are all there. And the thing that's exciting is, Friday night I was preaching on communion. And I was preaching on communion, and as we always do at our church, "If you need prayer, come on up, we'll pray for you." Well, a 40-year-old woman came up, she's married, has kids, has a host of things going on in their life. And she says, "You know what, I just need to hear from God." And I was still full of the Holy Spirit, just the overabundance of the Holy Ghost, and just still in the mode, and I and our praise and worship leader just prayed and prayed right over her, and she started just to see how God just really loved her. And the thing that was clouding her just went away. And the thing that God wanted her to see, his goodness, his presence in her life, was all there. She realized she wasn't alone. She realized that God was there all along. And you see, God is with us in our calling all the time. He told Moses, he told Joshua, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will certainly be with you, he told Joshua. And so he is there with us. Secondly, in this thought, you know in Genesis how God made the rainbow? And when you look at the rainbow, it's a sign that God would never flood the earth again. I'm sure you're familiar with that. God gives us the stars to, as a reminder in the New Testament, to his power, his might, and his working through our lives, to what can be accomplished in the calling of our lives when we surrender our own wills and our own lives and say, God, just take me as I am. Use me how you want to use me. And when you just do that, God gives us the reminder in the New Testament, the stars, and the stars are that representation of people's lives that we've touched. Lastly, there was the issue of faith. Abraham is mentioned in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 as one of the mighty men of faith. He didn't always have faith. He had faith at times, but there were times when his faith wavered. You may recall the time that him and his sister went down, and that was one of the stories there where he told her, he said, tell me you're my sister, not my wife. And there was other stories, you know, that he wasn't always this man of faith. But faith is required in order to in your calling. The Hebrew word for believe that Abram had here in the calling of his life. And it says in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. And it was counted to him as righteousness. That word believe, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it means that it wasn't like he just all of a sudden believed, but it was a gradual buildup to faith that he already had. It was faith on top of a faith, on top of a faith, on top of a faith, and all of a sudden he had faith. Romans 4, 1 through 3 says, then what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather? Humanly speaking, this is in the Amplified, so it's a little different, has found. He obtained a favored standing, for if Abraham were justified, that is, acquitted from his guilt by his sins, by works, those things he did that were good, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed and trusted, relied on God, and it was credited to him on his account as righteousness, right living, right standing with God. You see, he had faith. And so I ask you, who gave him the ability to have the vision? God did. Who gave him the ability to have this, be able to be his shield? That was God. Who gave him that ability to have the exceedingly great reward? That was God. Who was the one that gave him everything that he needed in the seed, in the air? That was God. Who gave him everything he needed to go forth, including the faith that he needed to have in order to make it through his life? That came from God too. Yep. So Abram can't like sit back and go, yeah, I did all these cool, incredible things because I have them. Everything he had was because God. He had a responsibility, though, to be in prayer, to be in the Word of God, to have his communication line open between him and God. He had a responsibility, but as long as he fulfilled his obligation, his responsibility, everything he got in his calling, including the faith to believe God, including that came from God. Genesis 12, 1 and 3, when God initially called him to leave his country, it says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you a great name, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in all your families on the earth will be blessed. And so he just did what God told him to. He left as God had told him to, took his wife and his family and went. Had no idea where he was going other than the fact that God had called him to go, but he went nonetheless. And when he had got there, he knew that that was where God called him. Lastly, there was a covenant. The covenant that couldn't be broken because of God. And the Bible tells us in our new covenant that we have with Christ. Jesus sent the 70 out. And he sent them out in Luke 10. And he told them to go to the highways and the byways. Go to the towns and be able to, you know, give them the gospel. And you know, they all came back. And not a single one said, you know, Jesus, we lacked this. We didn't have that. We should have had that. Or somebody didn't come back and says, you know, Lord, I wish we would have had this instead of that. They all came back and they were hooting and hollering. We use that term up in Wisconsin. We were hooting and hollering. I think you could use that down here.
Yeah, we did.
And they were hooting and hollering because of all the cool things that they did for the Lord. And they were all excited. Jesus had to calm down and say, hey, you know, don't get all riled up and excited about all those things. Just be happy that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what I'm saying is that God called them. Jesus called them to go out to the towns and the highways and the byways. He told them all to go out. And there wasn't a single person out of 70 people. Some say 72. I'm not going to argue. But anyway, they all came back and not a single one said, you know, you didn't give us what we needed. We didn't have this, we didn't have that, no, because God in his covenant with us as new believers, as he went to the cross, forgave us of our sin debt, cast us far as east as west, never to return no more, put us in the ministry of reconciliation, regardless if you're called to ministry or not, you're in the ministry, and gave us this covenant. And then he says in Romans 8 and 29, the Apostle Paul says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You know what? All of us in this room are in Romans 8, 29. We're all people that God knew were going to get saved. We're all people that God has called to be able to touch other people's lives. And God had also given us the ability to be able to, the Holy Spirit living within us, to show Christ. And to be able to have this image of Christ on us, that people, when they see you, they see Jesus. They know that you're something different about you. They know you tick differently. They know there's something about you. But you know the exciting thing is, God wants you to achieve your destiny. God wants you to have victory in your life. Amen. In the call he's given you.
Yes.
He wants you to be able to come to the point where all you're doing is just bringing glory to him. And so we look, God's promise to Abram was not just for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles. But for you and I, we are spiritual Israel. So we take part in that original covenant, but we also are given a New Testament covenant through what Christ has done on the cross. And so we that live in this New Testament calling no longer worry about blood, the animals, sheep, and goats. I mean, we no longer have to think about those things because we have Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done in our lives. When you read Romans chapter 4 and 3, it goes through that the sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament, it couldn't take away sin. It just postponed it for another year when the high priest had to go back in and do all the sacrifices all over again. But you and I who believe in Jesus Christ, our New Testament believers, we have, once and for all, have Jesus Christ who settled the matter. and settled the matter on the cross. So when you walk into your calling and you're all called, when you walk in your calling and you're doing what God has called you to do, you have an unbreakable covenant. You have a covenant that's not going to change with the seasons or the years, because once and for all, Jesus settled that on the cross. So your calling is your calling. He's given you all that you need. He furnishes you everything that you're going to need to be able to make it come to fruition. And what you lack, you just ask Him for it and say, Lord, help me with it. And if He doesn't give it to you now, He's preparing for you to have it, but maybe just now, but He has to work in you some things in order for you to get it later on. But you eventually get it. There's some things I do now that He could never have done in my life before. When I came into ministry, I was full of pride. And if you would have put 400 guys before me in a service, and they're all walking out, shaking my hand, saying, great job, great sermon, man. It really hit my heart. I love the song you sang. I love the words you put to the song. I wouldn't have been able to handle that. In my pride, I would have said, oh, yeah, it's all about me, man. Yeah, I get all that. Yeah, I'm an expert keyboard player. I'm going to be just like Melissa someday here. Oh, yeah, I'll be able to wail on that thing like her. And I'll be able to play guitar like Pastor Mike here. Yeah, I'm really good at that. I can sing like him, too. And you see, that all would have went to my head. But God had to work the pride out of me to bring me to the point where I could shake 400 men's hands and just say, thank you, Jesus, for taking me to the point where you did something in the service today that wasn't me. It wasn't anything that I could have done. But I just was honored you and just preached whatever you wanted or shared whatever you shared. And when I was at the service last night, the men said, do you have a song for us? And I write my own songs. I write my own. And I've done a number of other people's songs. I just didn't have what I wanted to do last night. And so I sat down and I go, all right, Lord, do I have anything? And I went in my little pouch here in the beginning of my, this is my prison Bible, by the way. And I pulled out this CD. And it says Fear on it. Huh. So I said, well, that's really cool. Fear's a Liar. That's the song by Zach Williams. Yeah. And I said, well, I'll do that one then. But you know, Lord, I can't really do it because I don't know all the words. I know them, but I don't know them when I'm in front of people. I can sing them in my car all day long. So anyway, I looked at my stack of notes here. I found the words, so I did it. So when you look at my Facebook page and you see that I did Fear's a Liar at this prison I was at last night, that's how I was able to pull that off. But I'm just saying all that to say this. God has glorified you according to Romans 8:29. He glorified them. He gave them all that they needed, and all they needed was Him to go alongside them. And whichever you lack when you're in the calling, God will give you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You, Lord, for the right now. We thank You for every person that's in this room right now, Lord. They're all called by You. And Lord, I know this was the sermon for now because it wasn't even the one I brought with me. And thankfully, there's a computer over here. I was able to print it off of my Google Drive. Lord, You've called everyone in this place right now. There's a calling on their life. And if they don't know what it is, I'll pray with you that God would reveal it to you. And what I preached this at my church last week, differently than here, there were people that were called but gave up on the calling because things came into their life and they just thought that God didn't want them doing it anymore. So maybe there's someone in this room today. There's someone in this room today, you've been called. You know you've been called. But circumstances and things came up in your life and you thought that God no longer wanted to use you because of this, that, or the other, whatever the circumstance was. But today you heard the sermon and you feel that God is reestablishing with you the calling He has in your life. Lord, I know You're speaking to hearts right now, Lord. I know as we've gone through this wonderful time of praise and worship that You just opened the door, the floodgates of the heavenlies coming down and the rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies, Lord God, into this place. Holy Spirit, I know you're in this place right now. Speak to hearts about their calling. Those that don't even think they have a calling, speak to them and let them know they have a calling. And Lord God, help them to understand it's not about us, but it's all about you. Whatever we do is for your glory. Whatever we accomplish is because of you, Lord, and the gifts, that your talents you've given us. There's somebody in this room right now. You have a talent or a gift that God has given you that you don't even know that you have. Somebody in this room has it. I don't know what that is. So let me quick address that. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray you reveal to this person or persons the gift that you have for them. Open their eyes, Lord God, to be able to see what that gift is, whatever that calling is upon their life. In the name of Jesus, empower them. Empower everyone in this room, Lord, to complete exactly what you want for them, to be able to fulfill the calling that they have in their life. Lord, I pray that we would put fear aside and know that you are with us no matter what it is that you called us to. And if the calling is way greater than who we are, hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's fine, because you'll furnish everything we need. We just praise you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for Don and Melissa to open up their home. We thank you, Lord God, for the beautiful reception I get whenever I come, and for the love that you guys have for me and my ma that couldn't come. And Lord, I just pray you bless this house. You bless everyone here, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
I want to take up an offering from Mike. He's so thrilled he thinks of us and comes here. And he's one of these guys that's never concerned. You know, he doesn't come for anything but to share the word of God with New Life. And it is such a blessing. We do have potluck today, so I don't know, brother, if you could stick around.
Amen.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That would be
awesome.
There's
food. I'm there, man.